Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another weekly edition of the broadcast, Is This the Church? With the one and only Sister AJ. They don't make them like Sister AJ anymore. They don't make them like Sister Marie anymore, and they certainly don't make them like me anymore. When they made us, they broke the mold. We are professional, theological nitpickers. Well, we have a great show in store for you. We've been dealing with this Dallas Jenkins series called The Chosen, and of course, what an abomination of a series it is. It is complete garbage in my estimation, and I'm only speaking for myself. Sister AJ has already spoken. She's already made her presentation. This is her show. The Lord led her to expose this farce of a mini-series, a cable series, an internet series, whatever you want to call it. It's a farce. And so we're just happy. I'm happy to have done it because I've come along for the ride. This was not my theme. I didn't pick it. Sister AJ was led of the Lord to bring it to the fore. I didn't know anything about Dallas Jenkins. I knew about his daddy. But I didn't know that the daddy had a Charlie Brown son. And so, yeah, there's a Charlie Brown in the kingdom. There's a Charlie Brown in the church, in the so-called church, and that's Dallas Jenkins. And so I knew nothing of Dallas. I knew nothing of his activities in Hollywood. I knew nothing of his failure in Hollywood, how he fell flat on his face in Hollywood. I knew nothing about his Christmas special. I knew nothing about The Chosen until Sister AJ brought it up, and I'm glad she did. Because, like I said, it's rubbish. It's garbage. It's no good. Take every episode and take it and just put it in the garbage and put it out on the curb for the sanitation men, the garbage men, to come by and pick it up and take it to the landfill. It's garbage, rubbish. But the devil loves rubbish. He loves to promote rubbish in the church. You look at the church today. You look at the pulpit. You look at the materials that are being produced in the church today. You look at YouTube and these so-called prophets and prophetesses and apostles and blah, 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 blah. It's all rubbish. Before I have a heart attack, let me just bring on Sister AJ so she can take over and I can just calm down. And Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to today's show. And I was telling the saints about how this series is just complete rubbish. We thank you for bringing it to our attention because, like I said, over the years, there's a lot of things I don't know about, you know, that Sister Maria and yourself, you guys have presented and you've had your own unique take on different things. And that's great because, you know, I'm like, for years I was just chasing one fox, and that was, you know, Paula White. And, you know, and my wife said to me, "What's the matter with you and Paula? You got a thing going there?" I said, "No, honey, I don't have a thing going with Paula." But it just so happens to be that she's a heretic. And that was my assignment at the time. And, you know, I left that trail. When she got involved with maybe 2 years before she got involved with Donald Trump and his election was when I stopped, you know, doing shows on her. But you know, it is what it is. You know, there's so much out there to talk about.
Yes, it
and,
is.
You know, and you guys have brought it to the fore. And like I said, I didn't know anything about that. Now, you know, it's amazing because the guy is famous. And I didn't know anything about him, you know? I didn't know. Honestly,
right.
I mean, it's, you know.
Well,
so,
I didn't either until I saw stuff about The Chosen pop up, and I decided to investigate. And, you know, just you're welcome for your thanks in me doing this. And I just thank the Lord for leading me. And, also, I thank you for suffering with me because I know it couldn't have been easy going through all those episodes. I didn't go into it thinking it was going to take as long as it did, but I wanted to go through as much information that was available so that I could present it and people could decide how they wanted to handle it. But I think the series was already in trouble when we looked at interviews where the director and writer says 95% of it is extra biblical.
Right. And that's the problem, because when you take the example of the people who put the Old Testament canon together and the Old Testament apocryphal books popped up, they said, no, this is extra biblical, so this goes in the garbage bin. Then when the New Testament came around, you know, you had apocryphal gospels, you had apocryphal epistles, you had apocryphal apocalyptic books that were somewhat like Revelation and that they had visions and prophecies in it. And the New Testament saints took those books and just threw them in the garbage too. And so it's our job to also filter and vet what is being put out today as a so-called gospel and say, this is garbage.
Right.
Because the guy has taken liberties you know?
Yes.
If I was to say that George Washington led the German nation and the Nazis to start World War II, and put that in my term paper, I would get a big F.
F.
Why?
Exactly.
Because George Washington was long gone for 200 years before I came up with that stupid idea. You just can't write stuff like that and think that people, and in the real world, people won't let you slide with that. In the real world.
No, they don't.
Right? So, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in the church. But in the church, people are sentimental. People get emotional. If you can pull at their heartstrings, you know, you can get people to believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. If you pull
yes.
at their heartstrings enough, I'm sure that there's so many dopey Christians out there that will say, you know, gee, I didn't know that, but now that they're brothers, maybe they can kiss and make up. Right? I mean,
right.
Because
maybe the Lord will have mercy and not throw them in the lake of fire.
Right, right, right. And that's where people like Bishop Carlton Pearson and others, you know, they say, look,
yes.
it's unfair for God to take these people and throw them into the lake of fire. It's unfair. And, you know, and Rob Bell with Love Wins and Love This, you know, God's
mm-hmm.
love is good. And all of that is that they're twisting the scriptures. And they get paid by Satan to twist the scriptures. And they get paid handsomely.
Yes.
Right? I mean, Rob Bell is world famous. I mean,
yes, he is.
But Rob Bell goes into an audience, and I mean, there are people giving him a standing ovation, and yet he is a minister of Satan, right? And I mean, that's, you know. So you see, Satan. When I analyze things, Satan wanted Dallas Jenkins, but Satan didn't want Dallas Jenkins in Hollywood. Satan wanted
right.
Dallas Jenkins in the church.
Right.
That's where he wanted him.
Because he had people might be a little leery, even if he's making a feel-good, so-called Christian-themed movie in Hollywood, people might be like, I don't know about that, which might be why it failed, the movie
right.
he made. But this gives him a platform that's, he just has a certain level of credibility, probably because of his father initially, but now he has his own name
right
within the church.
Right. See, and see, the thing is, combine Christians' gullibility and pastors' laziness, and you have the success
yes.
of the chosen. Combine the two. Right?
Right.
So it is what it is. It is what it is, and it's sad. But it just breaks my heart to see so many people, you know, spending their hard-earned money to be an extra. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Dallas was to say to me, hey, I'll give you I'll pay for your airfare. I'll pay for your hotel. I'll pay for your food. Plus, I'll give you $1,000 a day to be an extra. I would say you're out of your mind. Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't accept it. Right. I would have no part of that if he paid for my airfare, paid for my hotel, paid for my food, and also gave me $1,000 a day. I would say to him, you're out of your mind. Well, he got people suckered into paying their own airfare, paying for their own hotel, paying for their own eats, paying for their own costume.
That's right.
And then paying him
paying
to be an extra.
$1,000.
Right.
Plus $100 a head for whoever they brought with them. Don't forget that.
Right. So, you see, I mean, it's just, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
So if you took your family there, you would have to cough up an extra $500 plus the $1,000
right.
that you already paid.
Plus the airfare for them, plus the hotel for them, because my girls are not going to want, they're not going to want to share. You know, when before when we used to travel, I used to bring an air mattress with me, and we used to order a bed. We used to order a room with two beds.
A roller bed, and
Right, right. So Mama and one of the girls would be in one of the beds. Another two sisters will be in another bed, and me and Daniel would be on the floor in the air mattress. Right? I mean, that's because that's the way I was on the floor with my son. The girls were up in the bed. That's what you did to save. Now, First of all, they're gonna say to us, we three girls want our own room. The three of us in one room, you and Mom in another room. And keep the mutt, because that's what they call their brother, keep the mutt in his own room.
You'd be coughing up a lot of money.
Exactly. And the reason why they don't want to be with their brother is because he wants to hog up the Wi-Fi. He wants to hog up the TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they say he smells bad. Now, he does have some peculiar smells. But he takes a shower every day. But still, to them, he smells bad, you know. And that's the brother. That's the brother and sister relationship, you know. It is what it is. So I would be hearing it all night. You know, he smells. Can we get another room? So it just, you know, no way I'm paying that kind of money to go and then sit in the sun and bake. And possibly get melanoma, skin cancer, bacon in that heat.
Or heat stroke.
Right.
It was unseasonably hot out there. I mean, it gets hot in Texas, but it's not usually this hot this early.
Right. So it is what it is. So what do we have set up here for today?
All right. Well, I don't know if you may have seen this or some people in our audience, but I wanted to look. It's still about the media and how they present Jesus. It's a slightly different take on it. And it's, but due to an ad campaign that I started to see last spring, back in March, I started to see these commercials on television, and I caught the tail end of one evening, and I'm like, okay, it's called He Gets Us. And I'm like, what is this about? So I did some investigating, and I was like, wow, this might be something interesting to present to the saints, just to make sure they're aware of this. Because the ads are on TV commercials, radio spots, and plus they pop up on social media, you know, pretty much anywhere you can advertise, they're there. And the ads direct you to a website, and we're going to take a look at that and what information they're putting out. And there are also churches that are partnered with this campaign so that people who go to the website looking for things, and maybe if a church, one of their partner churches happen to live in an area where there's a church, then they can direct them to that church. Although all I had to see was Saddleback Church on there, and I was like, oh, this is a no-go for me. But we're going to take a look at it anyway. And as we did with The Chosen, I want to see how the ads and the information given on the webpage line up with the Word of God, and just make people aware, particularly parents, because as you figure, the young people are the target audience for this.
Right. Okay.
So, but have you seen this on TV or radio or anything? Okay.
Mm-mm, no.
So
no,
I love
not.
To hear your opinion on this too.
Yeah. No,
so
I have
what
not.
What Jesus are they presenting as the question that we're gonna try to answer?
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Let's see what this is all about.
So audio one is just a quick report from CBN.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Repeat
that
again. This is just a quick report from Christian Broadcasting Network explaining a little of what it is.
Okay.
The campaign is aimed at people who are skeptical about Jesus and don't know much about his ministry. The hope that it will start a new national conversation.
Anxiety ran high. Hatred rose. I'll prepare a feast and bring them together, he thought.
The ads portrayed Jesus as compassionate and someone who understands, whether it's our anxiety or a crisis pregnancy.
Her parents thought her boyfriend was the father, but the baby wasn't his. He loved her, so he offered to raise the child with her.
So we looked at Jesus' life, and we looked at what American public was going through right now and just said, what are the things that are most relevant to people?
Jason Vandergrund of the creative firm Haven worked with Christian donors and a massive $100 million budget to reintroduce Jesus to the public.
The main goal is just to increase the respect and the personal relevancy of Jesus.
The campaign includes 17 video ads, radio spots, and billboards. It also provides opportunities to chat, text, and read passages of Scripture. It's guided by research that shows many adults aren't sure of what they believe and have negative thoughts about Christianity.
The hope of the He Gets Us campaign is that might actually maybe dig a little deeper who Jesus is.
Dr. Ed Stetzer, executive director of Wheaton's Billy Graham Center, says the timing is key, as well as the strategy.
We want to encourage people during this moment, a time of confusion and division, that maybe this is an opportunity not to vent about everything we have an opinion about on social media, but talk to our friends and neighbors about Jesus who've seen these ads.
The He Gets Us campaign will run through the end of 2022 and reach a wide array of Americans and potentially start all kinds of new conversations. Heather Sells, CBN News.
Well, the way you started, listen, you can save $100 million simply by cracking open your Bible.
Right. I was going to ask, was Jesus' commandment to preach the gospel to all the world just about starting a conversation?
Again, it's not about starting a conversation. It's about starting a new life, right? The bottom line for preaching the gospel is that men and women would be born again, that they would be regenerated, not to make Jesus an item. You know, people put coffee table books on the coffee table so that when their friends come over, oh, did you see this? And it's a conversation piece. And then from there, they move on to dinner. You know, it's just a conversation. No. They wasted $100 million. They just wasted $100 million. Because
buy
$100 million worth of New Testament.
The group that put this together is kind of this secret donors who don't want to identify themselves. Supposedly they're Christians, and they work for this business who specializes in taking donations and using them, but people don't have to disclose who they are. For people who want to donate tons of money but remain anonymous, but it's kind of weird how it all sounds.
Sister AJ, listen. Jim Baker does this all the time. Jim Baker says, you know, somebody just gave the ministry $100,000. Now, if you match that, right?
It is probably a lie.
It's a lie. He says, listen, we have somebody that if I'm able through you to raise $100,000 or let's say $200,000, this person will match what you guys give me. And it's a lie. There's no such person exists. So for all we know, this could be the United Nations, right?
Absolutely. That's mainly what I was thinking. It's Soros,
right?
or somebody.
Or George Soros, right? George Soros?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's his name? Bill Gates? Or
yes.
Elon Musk? We don't know. We don't know who this person is or these people.
Right. And $100 million is pocket change to those guys.
Right. And they write it off.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, they just write it off. So, but here we are. Oh, we're so impressed. This must be a happening thing because somebody's going to put up the money and waiting for somebody else to match it. Nobody's matching anything. It's a hoax. It's just
right.
Like it was a
well,
hoax.
They spent the money. The ads
right.
are there. We're going to look at a few of them.
Right. But what I mean by that is, you know, it's like when Dallas Jenkins said or gave the impression that people were spray painting and defiling his billboards, right? That was all a
mm-hmm.
hoax.
Yes.
Right? It's so we've seen this before. This is a trick that they use in the past. That's what it is. It's, you know, and they're good at it. And listen, whenever somebody comes on representing the Billy Graham organization, just run in the other direction.
Yeah, right. Yes, they're mixed up in this too as part of the He Gets Us network. And like I said, Saddleback Church is on there, and that's Rick Warren. So you
right.
know you need to run.
Sure. Absolutely. So, listen, what you do in a situation like that is don't pay these people any mind because they're liars. I don't trust anybody who tells me, look, this is the bottom line. If you need the money, just tell the people straight out, look, this is how much money we need. If they give it to you, they give
yeah.
it to you. If they don't give it to you, then that's it. But don't make up stories. And we know that these people have lied in the past. Jimmy Swaggart lies. All these guys, all of them. I've heard David Jeremiah use tactics like that. We're at the end of the fiscal year, and we need X amount of dollars, and our donors will match. Dude, just say how much money you need, and that's that. Stop with the games. Stop that. We're at the end of the – just look, this is how much we need. I mean, if you're into that, right? I'm not into that. And these people, you know, there are no donors. I remember one time I had a millionaire friend in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he calls me up. He says, Mike, I want to have lunch with you and come on over. But before we go to eat, I got to stop at the supermarket to pick up a few things. So he's got his baby daughter in the cart, and we're walking around. And ring-a-ding-ding, he gets a phone call. It's Jack Van Empe. You know Jack Van Empe, that guy?
Yes.
I kid you not. It's Jack Van Empe. And Jack Van Empe is telling him, listen, I need to get 100,000 videos out to people, and I'm looking for people to donate. So he says, okay, when I get back to my office, I'll give you a call, and then we'll sit down and see how I can help you. Boom, he hangs up.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the cashier place, you know, where you check out in the days when you
right.
had to stand online, right? Okay. So ring a ding, 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 ding. It's Hal Lindsey. Another guy asking for money. Notice these people don't send their secretaries. No, no. They get on because it's the power of the celebrity preacher. See, they believe mm-hmm. that if they get on and they rub shoulders with the guy and, you know, like, you have access to my personal phone number. Because that's they don't give their numbers out to everybody. They give it out to millionaires. And then they tell them, listen, when you need something, you call me. But you know the reality is the millionaire never calls them. They're always calling the millionaire begging for money.
Right.
They always have
right.
they always have a project. They always have something that they need to do to reach this group and that group and this other group. So I'm with the guy and he gets two phone calls. And, you know, they're asking. Who knows if he gave the number to 50 guys, they would have, you know. And since he used to go to these prophecy conferences, he was big into big-time prophecy and all that stuff. He used to buy stuff in bulk. My millionaire, he used to buy, let's say, I remember one time he brought 100 copies of The Woman Rides the Beast. And he shipped them to me. And I get these boxes on my porch and say, what is this? So I call him. I said, did you send this stuff over? He says, yeah, I bought 100 copies of it, and I thought your students might use it. You might want to give it to them for free, which is what we did. But he was always buying stuff in bulk and blessing different people with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you find a person like that, these leech preachers attach themselves. And I never called the guy. He was always calling me, hey, I got this question on the Bible. Can you come over and help me on it? Never asked him for a cent, never begged him. I never had a project. I never, you know. And while I'm with them, I mean, they're just hounding them for money. They're relentless. They're piranhas. They're piranhas.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they
these are not really preachers that are doing it, that are putting this together or donors from the public. These are people, millionaires that went to this company that collects donation money that people want to donate, and they find these organizations to don't give it to sometimes. But in this case, it was specifically for to put together this ad campaign. So they went to a professional marketing programs and people like that to pay them to put these ads together, and the people who run the web page and partnering with the church. So it's a little bit more going on with it than that. But I get what you're saying with it. It's basically a scam to some degree.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, however the scam has evolved, because, you know, Dallas and his Mormon friends, they have a very sophisticated scam going on. And the scam, this is the scam. And it's not even through a 501c3. This is the scam. You give us money, and what do they call it, paying forward or something, some corny thing like that, paying forward. Okay, you give it, but then the people give the money, and those guys are getting checks. Correct me if I'm wrong. Are those guys? Yeah. Don't they have a? Don't they all have a cut of the business? So,
absolutely.
You pay forward, but who are you paying forward? You're paying forward these. Listen, it's other people's money that they're operating with.
Right.
It's other people's money. So you think that they're using all your money for the program. No, they're not using all your money for the program. They're lining their pockets.
Right.
The people are the bank. The poor people are the bank. And then if you give a certain amount, oh, my goodness, they'll let you come and they'll give you a little plastic. I remember maybe it was 2 years ago. And I went on a college tour with my wife and I went on a college tour, and boy, we got to the door and they were waiting for us. Hello, Mr. So-and-so. And they said, put this on your neck. And it was the tag. And And my wife and I got back in the car. We threw that in the garbage. I mean,
right.
You're not buttering us up. You know, I mean, we're not buying into that foolishness, but that's what they do. They give you a VIP tag. They
yeah.
give you one of those, right? And the big whoop-de-doo. But you paid $1,000 for that VIP tag. $1,000. And that little plastic thing costs 50 cents to make. So that's the scam. That's the scam. What money did Jesus use to promote himself? None.
Jesus didn't promote himself at all. It's just that he went around healing people, delivering people, and word got out like that. But he would, like they showed in The Chosen, the disciples weren't going in as an advance team and handing out flyers.
No, they weren't doing that. They weren't doing that. It's just sad that people, you know, people are silly. People, you know, people allow themselves to get conned. It's just,
right.
It's tragic. You know, you look at it and you say, my goodness, what happened here? What happened? How did we let this happen? How did this happen to the church? Well, it happened to the church because the first and foremost thieves are the pastors. And they've been training generations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just tragic. I look at it and it breaks my heart. But you know, you can't. You know, it's the people's money. You can't. You know, you can't tell them. You can't give it to Dallas because they're going to say to you, "Get thee behind me, Satan! This is of God. This is of God, Mr. Nitpicking Preacher. This is the Lord." And you know, and they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They look at you as the enemy.
No. You're a Pharisee.
That's it. You're a Pharisee. You're a big time, hater, and you know, God bind you the way He bound Satan, and you know, I decree and declare your demise. And
you're right.
You know, it's just sad. You tell people,
yep.
Look, don't do this because they're conning you, and they're saying, not my pastor. Yes, your pastor. Ooh, your pastor's doing it to you, and you don't realize it. You know, I've even seen Sister AJ where some pastors have molested the kids, and then it's found out that the pastor's molesting the kids. And the mama still say, no, that can't be pastor. No, it is. No, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so enamored. They're so caught up. Then no, it's not pastor. So it's a tragedy. You know, you look at this and you just, but, you know, there's only so much we can do. There's only so much.
Yes.
So, all right, the next audio.
Well, we're going to look at the ads, and I picked the ones that have that voiceover with along with the images, and we'll look at each one and try to make sense of what Bible verses this is coming from and just discuss each one. And the first, and audio number two, is one called Outrage. So whenever you're ready.
Okay. Let's listen to Outrage.
There was...
Okay, this has an embedded commercial. Let's get this out. Is it 30 seconds?
Yes. Yeah, most of these
okay.
are just
right.
going to be 30 seconds to a minute.
Okay, I thought it was another commercial. Hold on.
No, they're the actual ads.
Okay.
There was this controversial figure. Everywhere he went, people challenged him. They questioned his ideology, trolled him, called him ugly names. But he never took the bait. never raised his voice, refused to retaliate, because he believed he could change the world by turning the other cheek.
See, now some of that is false, some of that is true. Let's listen to
right.
this.
The best lies have elements of the truth.
Right. Let's listen to this again.
There was this controversial figure. Everywhere he went, people challenged him.
No. People didn't challenge him. Religious leaders challenged him. The people
right.
sitting on top of the pyramid, they challenged him. So that's a half
right.
truth. Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They questioned his ideology.
No, they didn't question his ideology. They questioned his theology.
Right. His claims to be that he's the Messiah, like when
right.
they threw him out, they ran him out of Nazareth because he quoted Isaiah 61, among others, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that one. And he said
right.
that in their hearing, the scripture was fulfilled. So, yeah.
Yeah. So they did question, but it was not his ideology. It was his theology.
Yes.
More importantly, his Christology, that he is the Christ. So
right.
You see how slick the devil is? The devil has a little element of truth and then a whole lot of error.
Yes.
Okay, here's the next segment.
Trolled him, called him ugly names, but he never took the bait, never raised his voice.
First of all, he not that he took the bait, but he faced them head on.
Right.
He did raise his voice.
Him calling them broods of vipers and hypocrites
right.
and sons of hell and... And
exactly.
of course, the turning over the tables at the temple a couple of times.
Correct.
Refused to retaliate because he believed he could change the world.
No, he refused to retaliate because he came as a lamb to die.
Right. Because didn't he tell Pilate that if his kingdom was of this world, his servants would fight to defend him, right?
Correct.
Paraphrasing.
Correct.
Yeah.
But his mission was to die, to shed
right.
his blood on the cross. See, now, they make this all sound, it sounds hype, you know, it sounds like a Marvel movie commercial. Right? Where they're trying to make Jesus into
yes.
some superhero. But this is all garbage.
Right.
This is all nonsense.
And then the images in the ad, is most of it is stuff that looks like it, or pictures that came from all the riots and demonstrations that were going on have been going on the last couple of years, but especially
right.
in 2020.
Correct. And they have some
so
images here of African-Americans and stuff like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there's
yeah.
other little subliminal messages with these, too.
Sure. Okay.
By turning the other cheek.
Jesus had to control his outrage, too. He gets us, all of us.
Yes, and the idea with this ad campaign, I'll read from a Christianity Today article, a line here. The marketing firm, it says each ad focuses on an aspect of Jesus's earthly experience with which today's The Struggle Is Real crowd, young people, might resonate. Jesus was judged too. Jesus had fun with his friends too. Yeah. So that's what they're doing with this.
Right. So in other words, Jesus is hip. In other words, it's another version of Jesus Christ Superstar with a bunch of teenagers running around like a flake. That's basically what they want.
Absolutely. Yes.
Right? It's an updated version of Jesus Christ Superstar. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
right? It's a contemporary version. It's a more militant version because of, you know, the stuff that they're pushing today. But it's the, you know, it's the same thing. It's Jesus the revolutionary. Jesus, you know, that's liberation theology, right?
Right. The devil knows no new tricks. He gonna keep to the ones that have worked throughout history.
Right. Correct. So, there you go. That's it. That's the message.
Right.
Boy, what a waste of $100 million.
Yes, indeed. They could have given me just a small sliver of that if they wanted to just throw away money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Amazing.
So number three at audio three is about a minute long, and it's called the Physician. Let's see what you think about this one.
Okay, let's see.
A young mother had a son, a kind-hearted boy who always tried to do what's right. As he grew older, he worried about others more than himself. Whenever he saw anyone suffering, he tried to heal and comfort them. But more people became sick. Disease ravaged the land. People were quarantined, isolated. Many didn't survive. It became too much, and he had to isolate himself. He cried as he thought about all the unbearable things the people were going through. The mental anguish racked him with sorrow, but it was his cross to bear.
Yeah, this is a campaign to humanize Jesus. That's all it is. It's just a campaign.
Yes.
It's just a campaign to make Jesus Fidel Castro. That's all it is. It's, you know.
Right. And they talk about, like you say, like a medical doctor today working in an emergency room and all the patience and the tragedy and suffering that he sees and how it can be overwhelming, which we know Jesus was not overwhelmed with that. He had compassion, and he certainly went about healing and of their physical ailments, feeding them, delivering them from demons. But more importantly, he was about spiritual healing. And I thought about the scene where he healed the paralyzed guy. They lowered him down on the bed and all that, and how the Pharisees were upset because the first thing that Jesus said to the man was, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." So he was about that first and foremost.
Right. Right. Boy, I tell you. they make Jesus so weak. Oh, he was so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And of course, like you said, it's not just the words, but it's the pictures that they pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they showed a doctor who had his hands on his head, and he was like, he couldn't take it anymore. He was ready to commit suicide.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
And who's putting this out? What's the name of the group?
They don't have a name. They work through that company. I'll have to look it up and get back with you when we come back again, because it's in a, I have it somewhere else, but it's a, we don't know who the donors are. They're working another organization.
Yeah, it's one of Satan's shell
companies.
And
it's not a church.
Right, right, right. No, it's one of Satan's shell companies. You know how the mafia has different, you know, they're just shell companies. That's all it is. That's it. Absolutely. No, this is garbage. But listen, the weak-minded people are just sucking us up. This is like,
right. And also
the kids who
are being influenced, because they're already getting it, this stuff fed to them in a lot of these school systems and their friends on so it's a lot coming at them. So and
sure.
That's who their target audience is with these. So I'm just wanting people to be aware if you happen to see these or if your child comes to you with these weird questions about the Lord, this could be where they're getting it from.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
So
wow.
audio number four is called The Influencer.
Okay. Yeah, they instead of savior, they like the word influencer because it doesn't have religious
right.
overtones, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was an influencer who became insanely popular. Everybody started following him.
Wait a minute. You just told me in the other video that he was being challenged by people.
Right. Well,
there were big
crowds attracting Jesus, but attracted to Jesus. So I don't know. I guess that's what they're talking about. The crowds
right.
that followed him, especially at first.
Sure. And it's amazing the way they have, in all these videos, the main feature is African-Americans.
Yeah, and it's like they're demonstrating and at protesting and out in society
right.
or and being
right.
arrested and stuff. That's what that
mm-hmm.
the images in these are.
Right, right.
There was an influencer who became insanely popular. Everybody started following him. Then one day, he stood up for something he believed in. People got angry. The establishment called him an extremist, said he shouldn't be allowed to share his views. They would stop at nothing to shut him up. So they did what they had to do. They nailed him to a cross.
Oh, Jesus was canceled. Well,
right.
They canceled Bonanza.
Right.
They canceled Hawaii 5-0. They canceled the Honeymooners. They canceled Pirates of the Caribbean. At
Even
some point
the
in time,
got canceled at some point.
That's it. See, this is they're such babies. They can't take being canceled. They just can't take
right.
it.
But they're using these social media terms, influencer, because everyone wants to be an influencer on social media in particular. And so they're using language that the young people use and understand. So, but yeah, canceled. No, Jesus willingly laid down his life for us.
Right.
No one could lay a finger or could even breathe on him hard until it was the time for him to lay down his life.
And he's not canceled. He can never be canceled because he's God.
And
he
died and rose again and sits
Correct.
At the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, of course, Biggie got canceled. Tupac got canceled. You know, you go
yeah.
to the Japanese president, Prime Minister Abe, just got canceled, right? Hey, you know, but
mm-hmm.
not Jesus. Sorry.
Absolutely. That's right.
All right. Here's more. Here's the number five.
Number five.
And this one is entitled?
The Rebel.
The Rebel. Yeah. The Rebel. Okay, let's see. Wow. The Rebel. Amazing.
A rebel took to the streets. He recruited others to join him. They quit their jobs, left their families.
Now, all these pictures of these so-called rebels, they're all thugs.
Yeah, right. They look
they're
like members of La Ebe.
Right, right. They look like members of MS-13, you know, from El Salvador, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they look like.
The Mexican Mafia.
Right. Sure.
A rebel took to the streets. He recruited others to join him. They quit their jobs, left their families, and swore allegiance to him. They roamed the hood, challenged authority, and made a lot of people uneasy. Community leaders feared them. Religious leaders abhorred them. Law enforcement labeled them outlaws. We have to shut them down, they said. Get them off the streets. Protect our communities from these troublemakers. But they weren't part of a gang spreading hate and terror. They were spreading love.
Jesus was wrongly judged. Yeah, okay. Wow.
This is one that I wanted to talk about, the subliminals, because I think it's a very good one to do that with.
Right.
For one thing, like you say, the images, they look like they are gangsters. They're Hispanic guys that with the low rider cars, and
sure,
they've got some black guys thrown in there, and they're making it seem like Jesus was some OG homie. And his gangster disciples, which there is a gang called the Gangster Disciples, by the way. But
that's
who they're making. Yeah, they started in Chicago or something, I think. But Jesus did not break the law, not God's or man's. That's the thing, first thing. But just practical observation as far as the imagery and the subliminal message that I noted in this one is that wrongfully judged, and you got these criminal thugged out looking guys, and it's almost trying to say that you shouldn't judge these guys if you see them on the street and assume they're bad or gonna hurt you or whatever. Don't profile, don't take steps to avoid certain things and places and people. But I tell you one thing, if I'm going to go to one of the parks or something to walk my dog, and I'm driving in and I see a bunch of guys that they just showed in this video in the park, I'm leaving.
Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, stay safe. Don't let these types of things guilt trip you into thinking you're being a bigot or whatever if you look at a situation and say, you know what, I'm not even going over there, or whatever
right.
the issue is. Just stay safe is what I'm trying to get out there. Don't listen to these folks, because listening to them might get you or someone else hurt.
Right. Some of these guys in the images had tattoos, bandanas, earrings. They had their pants low.
Yep.
Again, the whole thug look.
Right.
The whole thug look.
And they had them delivering it toward the end, delivering meals to the homeless and all this stuff. Please.
Right.
You know, and if I see a guy looking like that, I'm not going to think that that's what he's been doing. I'm sorry.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, you know, and what they're doing here in this is basically what Dallas did, which we pointed out in each one of the videos. He's trying to take a first century Jesus in a...
Yes.
In a certain culture, and they're trying to transplant them and make them hip, make them relevant, make them 21st century type, right, where he's one of us. No, he's not one of us. He's the Son of God, first and foremost. And we don't carry any level of divinity. We're not divine. He is a prophet, a king, and a priest. Most people out in the street, they're not born again. They don't know anything about the kingdom of God. So for you to say he's one of us, only in human nature, but that's it. Did he know sin? No.
Right.
Did he practice sin? No. Did he break the law,
no,
like Sister AJ just pointed out? No. In the video, says he, you know, he basically he broke the law. No, he did not.
And I don't believe any of the disciples did either.
Right. Think about it. When they had to pay their taxes, Jesus said to Peter, go fishing and get the money, and there was a coin in the fish's mouth. Jesus didn't break the law. He wasn't a tax evader.
He didn't break God's or man's laws.
Right. And then every time he healed somebody, he says, now the law of Moses says you got to go to the temple and show yourself to the priest. Go do that. Don't break the law now.
Right.
Right. And Pilate had to wash his hands because he said, hey, this guy is innocent. I can't find anything to levy against him. There's nothing I can,
right,
you know. And then if he was so guilty, why would the high priest and the other religious leaders have to get people to lie on Jesus? They paid people to lie on Jesus. So you don't do that for a guilty man. You don't have to hire people to bring false witness against a guilty man.
Right.
So this is all nonsense. But
that's
they're
right,
trying to make Jesus one of us, and he's not. All right. So we finished with audio 5, so I guess it's audio 6, right?
Right. This is the next one. This one is called the dinner party.
Oh, okay.
A caring man took a walk. Everywhere he looked, people suffered. Anxiety ran high. Hope dwindled. Hatred rose. His neighbors had lost trust in the system and in each other. I need to do something, he thought. I'll bring them together and feed them. Around the dinner table, they can talk and see how much they have in common. Shared struggles. Shared joy. Shared pain. So he prepared a feast and invited all into his home. But some refused to sit at his table because they chose to only see differences. He was heartbroken because he wanted everyone to eat and be filled, not with food and wine, but with compassion.
See, again, Jesus doesn't come to give us compassion, or he doesn't come to give us a meal. Jesus comes to bring salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Man's problem is sin. That's the problem.
Right. Now, I'm trying to figure out where they're getting this yarn they spent, and the only thing I can think of is where they're talking about the parable of the wedding feast.
Perhaps,
possibly.
But you see, even in the parable of the wedding feast, there was a man there who did not have the appropriate garment. And the person hosting the wedding feast says, friend, how did you get in here? And then he said to his servants, take this guy, bind him hand and foot, and cast him out. So you're not getting to the wedding of the Lamb simply because, you know, you want to sit at the table. That's not how you get in. So it's by divine invitation only. And you know, some people want the miracle aspect of Jesus, or they want the 5,000 feeding Jesus. Dallas gives the people that Jesus. But he doesn't give them the fire and brimstone Jesus. He only has the feed me Jesus. Or the hug
right.
me Jesus.
And he just wanted to bring them together to talk and air out their differences. No, that's not what if they're getting it from the wedding feast story, that's not what that parable is about. And ultimately it's about judgment.
Correct.
It reminds me of when Jesus said, when he said he's the door to the sheepfold, then he said if anybody tries to get in another way, he's a robber and a thief. So That's not a good one to use for this. I'm just guessing. I don't know what they basing it on, but that's the only thing I could think of, the wedding feast.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, it's just all wrong. Because here's the other thing. You keep talking about this guy. Why don't you just mention his name? Because the Bible
says
there is salvation.
Well, in the video, they show it. They show the name Jesus, but you don't hear, they don't mention it verbally, but they show the name Jesus, but I don't think they're talking about the Jesus in the Bible, Jesus the Christ.
Well, again, the Bible says there is no other name given unto men whereby they might be what? Saved.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta declare it, not show it timidly. I mean, you are wasting $100 million if we never hear his name. I'm sorry.
Right.
You
guess if you see the ad, then you'll see it up there on the screen, though. But I get what you're saying.
Sure.
If you're listening to one of these radio ads, then you're not going to get that.
Absolutely. So it is what it is. It is what it is.
So the next commercial ad. Oh, you. Go ahead, sir. I was just gonna say.
I mean, you know, if you're gonna go all out, go all out. Just, you know, don't. Why are you fearing the mention of his name? You know, the in Acts 4, when the mm-hmm. lame man got healed, the man who was sitting there for 38 years, and Peter and John said, "Silver and gold we have none, but in the name of Jesus."
Right.
That guy. In Acts
right.
4, the chief priest and the leader says, "We prohibit you from using that name, from mm-hmm. mentioning that name." Paul says, "It is at the name of Jesus." There's a name, but you have to name it. It is
right.
at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So you have it
right.
there, but you don't want to mention it.
Even those guys that were trying to cast out the demons and they got whooped, even they said, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches."
Right, right, because it's about the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the name. So, yeah, this is like a half-baked commercial.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand,
talking about that,
right? You have it up there, but then you're afraid to name it. Don't. I mean, $100 million, man. You give me $100 million, and all I'll do is say is Jesus. Give it to me. I'll use it in the preaching of the gospel. That's a waste of money. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if I was driving in my car and I listened to these commercials, these five, I'm saying, who are they talking about?
Right.
Are
they talking about Mahatma Gandhi or?
they could be talking
is
about
somebody
Kanye.
Like that.
Is it Kanye
yeah,
they talking
can.
About? Because Kanye yeah. thinks he can walk on water. Is it Kanye? I don't know. They didn't mention
the
name.
And he has depicted himself on a cross with a crown of thorns before.
Crazy, just crazy stuff. Yeah,
so
go ahead.
I was just going to say the next ad is called The Birth, so whenever you're ready with that.
Okay. All right, here it is. So I'm at the website, right? Is that what this is?
No.
Okay.
Audio 7 is the next
ad. Oh,
I'm sorry. But we'll get to that next. So
okay, here it is.
A young girl had a boyfriend. She got pregnant. She was scared. How could she face her parents? what would they say? Can't hide something like that forever. Her parents asked who the father was. They assumed her boyfriend, but baby wasn't his. He loved her so much, he offered to help raise the child with her. They married and found a small place. They had very little money and no insurance. One evening, her water broke. There wasn't time to get help. He delivered the child and lay him in a manger.
Oh, Jesus was born to a teen mom. He gets us. What a joke.
This stuff would be funny if it wasn't serious, in that it could mislead people who just aren't aware.
Right.
Maybe not Christians, but just people who are not paying attention to what their kids are doing. Or, I mean, it's just so many ways the devil can creep in using things like this. So that's why I wanted to bring this up, even though that these ads seem somewhat juvenile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're dangerous because they have a target audience, which is the next generation.
Right, and it's not us. It's not necessarily.
Right. Say, listen, Satan is not after me or my wife or the 60-year-olds in my church or even the 50-year-olds. He's after the young people. He's after the. That's why they're bringing drag queens into the church, so that the little kids can have storytelling time with the drag queens. The drag queens do not want to have storytelling time with grandma and grandpa.
Right.
It's with the kids. It's with
the kids.
Babies. That's it.
And
listen,
when
Nebuchadnezzar came into to Israel, to Jerusalem, he took Daniel and his three friends. He took the young people. That's what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. And then he changed their names. He gave them all Babylonian. He gave them a Babylonian diet. Then he tried to give them a Babylonian religion, and they wouldn't have it. But
right.
That's what they do. They come for the young. Then they're not coming for the old Israelites. Mm-mm. No. They're coming for the next generation that they can twist their minds.
Right, and this is definitely a play right out of the Marxist handbook. I mean, even Lenin said something like, give me 4 years to educate your children, and the seeds I plant will grow over a lifetime, or something to that effect.
Absolutely. There are still people, listen, there are still people who hung out with Charles Manson, right? Charlie Manson, you know, the love guy, okay. Why are those girls still behind bars? Because they still pledge allegiance to Manson.
They're still dangerous.
Right. Mm-hmm. The seeds that he planted are still growing.
Right. Squeaky Fromm is still around there somewhere. You know, she tried to kill President Ford back in the day.
Yeah. That's it. And she had the right name, Freaky, because, I mean, they're all...
Squeaky. It was squeak.
Yeah, but
squeaky.
She's freaky.
That was
Freaky. Yeah. She let me tell you something. All those people are weird. All of them.
Yeah.
You can't get that. You can't eradicate that stuff just by sending them to some doctor that's going to talk to them once a week for an hour. By the end of the session, the doctor himself is cuckoo and needs medication.
Right.
No, listen. Like you said, you plant those seeds at a young age, that stuff still grows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. That's why are they going into our schools and talking to our kids about gender orientation?
Right.
Why are they targeting those kindergartners?
They want to indoctrinate them.
Exactly. That's who they're going after. That's it. They get that generation. They got the church in their pocket. Satan has the church in his pocket.
Absolutely. Satan can just run roughshod, and he doesn't get a whole lot of resistance now, but it'll be worse then when these young ones grow up.
Absolutely. I was waiting for my wife to come out of church today so that we can be here on time to do this show. And I'm sending the call with my son. And a man is coming down the street with two little girls. Now, the guy had purple shorts, okay? He had a flower shirt. And he had eyelashes painted, okay? Now, he must have been he was probably 6'3", 6'4". He's as big as a grizzly bear, right? But he's a girl. He's a girl.
Why is and it always he, those guys that think they're supposed to be a woman?
Right. And he passes us by, and he's got a girl voice. He's got a girl voice. So, you know, then I don't say anything to my wife because he passed us, but by the time she got in the car, it was 10 minutes later. So we catch up to him, and she says, "What's that?" I said, "Well, take a good look." And she said to me, was that a man? I said, "That's a man." Who's the daddy of, I'm assuming he's the daddy of those two girls, but now
I
he
hope
wants to
so.
Be Kate, but now he wants to be Caitlyn Jenner. You see? And here's the thing. I don't know if you've seen this. Caitlyn Jenner, they have her all the time on Fox News, right? They have Caitlyn on Fox News, and they talk to her like she's normal. They bring her on. She's supposed to offer some insight that's relevant, a cogic insight. You know, she's supposed to be an authority on something. And I'm saying to the people questioning her, don't you know that that's a man?
Of course they do. They're old enough to remember Bruce Jenner.
Right. But they're talking. But you see, now she's a contributor on Fox News. Now she's supposed to be someone you're supposed to listen to. What?
And Fox was supposed to be the conservative. Conserving what?
Exactly. I knew Fox had gone bad when they were having Paula White there in the mornings. Fox and Friends. Fox and Friends. I said then, well, this network has gone, you know, it's just gone bad when they have that clown on. But it is what it is. It is, you know, it is what it is. So.
All right, and since these ads refer you to the website He Gets Us, I wanted to look at that, what information people get when they go on this website. So that's why I sent you the link to the webpage. And then we're going to there's some stories on here that supposedly talk about Jesus. So I wanted you to we're going to listen to some of those, however many you want.
Okay.
So do you have a web page up? Because I gave you some directions on how to get to those
I clicked
audios.
On it. Yeah, I clicked on it. So it says next step. Right? Okay, next step.
Wait, let me see if I can. So you were at it. What I want you to go to is a list of topics.
Okay.
It'll be.
It says, get the full story. It says, read about Jesus, connect, text for prayer, get
chat. What I want you to do, I'll show you what I want. So if you go all the way back up to the top.
Mm-hmm. Hold on one minute.
And you'll look at.
Okay, I'm here.
Do you see, look to your to the right of the screen,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see three yellow bars.
Right.
Click
on that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm there.
And what's next? You'll see big words, read, watch, listen. Is that what you're seeing on the left-hand side?
Mm-mm. No. Okay, let me go back. Okay. Top right, yellow bar. Okay, I'm going to do it again.
Sometimes this thing is a little wonky in the way it works.
Okay. It's not letting me. Okay, let me.
What are you seeing on your screen? Maybe I can figure it out.
Okay, it says number one at the top right of your screen, click on the three yellow bars, right? Which is what I'm doing now. Okay, so I'm there, and it's showing me the same picture.
And which one are you seeing?
I'm seeing the one where the people are crossing the street.
You might have to just click off of that and just go off the webpage and just click on the link again, because sometimes this thing is hard to get it to go back where you to the beginning page sometimes, or it's weird.
Yeah. I'm here where it says he gets us read, watch, listen.
Okay, that's where I want you. Hold on. Let me catch up. Okay, click on read.
Okay, there's read. Acceptance, anger, anxiety, arrested, broken relationships.
Right, and
bullied,
these are the topics.
These are
the topics. And now most of them have an audio we can listen to. So if click on sex workers. I know it sounds weird, but click on that anyway, and then I'll show you what to do next.
Okay, I'm here at sex workers.
And it's a yellow box that says read to me, it's going to read the actual article or whatever this is that is on there. So we'll hear it. It's an audio file. And up at the top left, you can, if you want to stop it, you can't go backwards and forth, unfortunate, but you can pause it and play it through those buttons if you want to stop it before it finishes, but it's not that long. So that's what these
Here it
are.
Is. Here it is.
In ancient Jewish society, the punishment for sex work was death. If women were caught performing sexual acts for money, men had permission to drag them into the street, pick up rocks, and stone them to death. Jesus had a different idea. One day, a group of men thought they could back Jesus into a corner. These men, including experts in the law, brought a sex worker to Jesus and told him what she'd done. They knew Jesus preached a message of inclusivity and love, but they thought they could trap him. The law was clear. This woman had to die. As they picked up stones, Jesus wrote something in the dirt. Whichever one of you has never done anything against our laws, throw first. He knew they couldn't honestly condemn the woman when they considered all the wrong they'd done themselves. Eventually, they all dropped their stones and walked away, leaving only the terrified woman and Jesus. Then, he told her to go on and get out of this destructive life pattern.
Well, major problem here. She wasn't a sex worker.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because this is supposedly the story of the woman caught in adultery. And I'm
right.
I don't remember reading anything too much that said she was a prostitute. She could
Correct.
Have been somebody's girlfriend for all we know, a mistress, you know, something like that.
She could have been the high priest's girlfriend for all we know.
Right.
What we call today the bishop's girlfriend. right? I mean,
yes.
So, no, she wasn't a sex worker. She was a woman caught in the act of adultery. But notice,
right.
You can't commit adultery by yourself. There's got to be a man. So they let the man slip away, but they caught the woman.
Right.
Because
and
the man, too, would have been.
According to the law of, right, the law of Moses says they both are supposed to be stoned, but they
correct.
Only brought the woman to Jesus.
They only brought the woman. They right? So the guy slipped away. We don't know if they let him slip away or he got wind of what was coming and he ran out and left her there and she's the one that got caught. But they were two in adultery.
Right.
Not sex workers.
And then Jesus didn't tell the woman to stop this destructive lifestyle. He told her to go and sin no more.
Correct. Correct. Which includes all sins. Right?
Right.
So, again, they missed the boat. They missed the boat.
Yes, they did. So this is what people will find when they go on this web page to get more information about quote-unquote Jesus.
Right, which, again, Dallas says, I want to present to you the authentic Jesus. No, that's not
yeah.
the authentic Jesus.
And
it's just,
no.
So, all right. So,
did you want to listen to some more? Or
absolutely, absolutely.
You have to. You might be able to click on the three yellow bars again, but sometimes I just use my browser back arrow, and that'll work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to figure out how to get back to the list. You might have to go and hit read again to get back to it. So.
Right.
Whenever you're ready to listen to to another one.
Yeah, there's one here called Women's Equality. Let me play this for the wife to make sure that I don't have her enslaved. Okay, let's see.
Okay.
The very first mention of Jesus in the Bible includes women, a radical idea at the time. Like many biographical documents from those days, it starts with a genealogy. Typically, genealogies from that historical moment would not have included women. But Jesus' family tree lists many women as his ancestors. What's more, it includes women who many wrongly considered unremarkable and even immoral.
First of all, it had to include women. It had to.
Mm-hmm.
For two reasons. One is because God always wants to show that babies come from women.
Right.
Right? Yesterday there was a professor from Berkeley testifying before the Senate, and she was saying that not only can women give birth to children, but so can men.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Right. So that's asinine, because there's no, and this is a law professor at Berkeley. What? A man? What man have you? I don't know of any man that has ever given birth.
Me either.
Any man? Okay. I don't know of any rooster that has ever laid an egg, ever.
and I haven't heard of any male dog giving birth to a litter of puppies.
Right, absolutely. So that's one, right? Number two, in Genesis 3:15, it says that the seed of the woman, doesn't say the seed of the man, but the seed of the woman shall bruise Satan in the head.
Yes.
So the going all the way back to Genesis, where God is promising to Eve that she will have her revenge on the serpent who beguiled her. and she will have her revenge because she will ultimately have a son that shall bruise Satan's head. It has to be traced back to the woman. Jesus, in theology and in all biblical circles, especially when you deal with the incarnation of Christ, not only is he of the seed of Abraham, but he has to be the seed of the woman. Must be. So, again, no kidding that, no, it's not rare. It's not rare that the mother's named. It's not rare. In what world do you, what Bible are you translating?
I don't know. It's utter nonsense.
It's utter nonsense. From the beginning of Genesis, God is noting. So, all right, let's listen on.
It lists a prostitute who betrayed her people, a woman who pretended to be a prostitute in an act of desperation to become pregnant, a widow who wanted to marry to provide for her dead husband's mother, and a woman whose husband was killed in favor of her own life. Their inclusion is hugely symbolic for Jesus' love and respect for women during a time when they were viewed as lesser than. He understood that women were oppressed by men in that society and that they were often faced with unfair dilemmas. Jesus never treated women as second-class citizens. In fact, he interacted with women in many ways that would have been considered unheard of in those days. Some of Jesus' closest followers were women, and a handful of wealthy, powerful women from the Jewish aristocracy became some of his biggest financial supporters, even though many of their husbands questioned Jesus.
Wow, what a bunch of malarkey. I know what they're referring to. They're referring to Luke chapter 8, where it lists the different women who supported the ministry of Jesus, but they were not part of the aristocracy.
Right.
And their husbands, there is no mention that their husbands, there's no reference that any of their husbands opposed their love or their following of Jesus.
No. They just made that up.
They made that up. And, by the way, the whole society that we live in is made up of 50% men, 50% women. For you not to get along with women is to be quite miserable. I mean, think about it. Jesus had his mother, he had his sisters, he had his aunties. For you not to get along with women, or any man not to get along with women, you would be pretty miserable pretty fast.
Yes, indeed.
Because half of society is what? Women. So when you read the Bible, when you read passages of Scripture, when the man is truly following the Bible and loves the Word of God and loves the Lord, he doesn't abuse of his wife or mistreats his wife. That no, not for the follower of God. So I don't know, again, I don't know what world these people are getting their information from. I guess they don't have,
Well, they just look at that as a misogynistic society and women couldn't, you know how being a wife and a mother and that stuff is frowned upon these days. So they look at women who lived in other times through a modern lens to say, you know, they were oppressed because they didn't work outside jobs and all that stuff.
But again, what outside jobs were there? Because all the jobs were within the family.
I guess Peter's wife was supposed to be on the boat with him. I don't know.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It's all victimhood, you know, every one of these.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus is coming to help the victims.
Well, that's the way that they want the, they want to promote that downtrodden victim mentality now, even people who clearly aren't victims. And even if everyone has gone through stuff and had experiences and things that they've had to fight through, but that's not, that's different than what these people are promoting, basically Marxism.
That's it. Look, that Benji has supplanted me in this house, that he runs this house and tells me where I can sit. I'm not a victim. I'll have my day. I'll get my, I'll, you know, one day I'll get rid of him. One day he'll be out of the house. Until then, you know, it's game on. Right? Until then, it's just game on. But I'm not a victim. You know, all of this. Listen, if you were in China, if you were living in China and you were running ads similar to this, I'd say, okay, you're oppressed.
Absolutely.
If you were running, if you were running these ads in Russia, I'd say, okay, you're oppressed. But here in America, you're a victim. You're misunderstood. You need a safe zone. You need a place where you can go, where you can tune, you know, the harsh conversations out. I mean, I was listening to this professor from Berkeley yesterday, and she was saying to Senator, the senator she was speaking to, she says, you know, your statement is transphobic. And this is why so many of them commit suicide. And that's violence towards violence. I'm not telling anybody that. I'm just asking you a simple question. Can men have babies? And the scientific answer is no, men cannot have babies. That's not because I'm transphobic. It's a fact.
Right.
And you got to deal with the facts. You know, when I was told, you know, you took your SATs, but you have to have a certain score in your SATs to come to this school. I didn't have them. So you know what they said to me? You can't come in, mister.
Mm-hmm.
So did I go back into the car and start crying like a little baby sissified girl, like a little Charlie Brown? And did I do that? No. I went to the next school where I had the enough SAT score to get in.
Right.
Right? That's what you do.
You didn't say the white man was keeping you down?
Right. 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 So you got to keep moving. You know, you just can't. That's it. Because
right.
it's not just me that they said no to. It's every other person who didn't hit the score that the college requires.
Right.
And when you go to the counselor's office, when you go to the guidance counselor's office, they have these books where you just open them up and you look at the university, and they tell you in the book what score that university is looking for if you're going to fill out an application
right.
of admission.
So you don't even need to apply if you know your score isn't high.
Exactly.
Enough.
If you're Charlie Brown, don't apply. Don't apply. Now, I mean, is that an attack? No, that's a stand. It's called the standard. It's called the standard.
Well, you know, standards and expectations are racist now.
Right. Absolutely. 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 So we live in a crazy world. That's
mm-hmm.
all. You know, we live in a crazy world, and the devil likes it because, you know, look at all the fools in the pulpit today. Look at all the fools in the pulpit telling you that Satan's out to get you and wrap himself around you and squeeze you to death until the Holy Ghost is squeezed out of you because the Satan Python spirit is after breath. I mean, okay. I mean, if you like a Twilight Zone version of Dallas Jenkins, then I guess that's for you. But no, that's the church world today. The dumber
mm-hmm.
you are as a preacher, the greater the following. The greater the following.
Right.
That's all. Plain and simple. Look
right.
at Kanye. I sat through those audios that you sent on Kanye's album. I couldn't believe that he was up for a Grammy. I couldn't believe that they were considered. Yeah, I couldn't believe it that when he was being considered for a gospel Grammy. For what? Garbage.
Snoop got some kind of award for his, too.
Yeah. So if you put out garbage, people love it. That's all. That's it. What can you do? The world is turned upside down. What can you do? What can you do? Nothing. That's all. They want to keep running to Jim Baker and buying his survival food while at the same time he's telling them Jesus can come and take them out of here any minute.
The rapture. Right.
Right. But meanwhile, he's telling them to buy the bucket.
That are left.
Right. Sure. Sure. So, it is what it is. You look at people, you watch their reactions, you would have thought that people would have learned when Jim Jones killed 900 plus people and have them drink the Kool-Aid. You would have thought that, okay, no other person in the church could ever do that again. Well, now there's 10 million Jim Joneses in the church. And maybe not to the extent that he's having them.
Most of them don't kill the sheep because they're more valuable alive.
Sure. They figured that out. I need the people to keep bringing me the cash, so I don't want them dead.
That's right.
I want them alive. So it is what it is. And I've talked to a lot of people, and I spent an hour trying to explain to somebody about tongues. The person asked me a question about tongues, and I said to them, okay, let's go to Acts number 2, and I said to him, tongues is a known language. Tongues is not gibberish. So when you say you speak in tongues, do you speak in a known language? No, I speak in the tongues of angels. How do you know it's the tongues of angels? Has anybody ever verified that? How do you know what the tongue? Because the Spirit told me. No, the Holy Spirit cannot tell you what the tongues of angels are, because there would be no reason for him to tell you that you have the tongues of angels, because you're a man. The tongues of men belong to men, and the tongues of angels belong to angels. Well, it's my prayer language.
Right.
Who told you it's your prayer language? Who told you that? Well, that's what they say. It's a prayer language. But is it in the Bible? No, then it's not a prayer language. Because when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, Our Father, who art in heaven. Jesus wasn't speaking in tongues. Jesus never said to his disciples, when you pray, don't forget to pray in your prayer language. Jesus never said that. In John 17, when Jesus is offering that great prayer, it wasn't in tongues. When James says that Elijah prayed, Elijah didn't speak in tongues. Not in the tongues that these people are referring to. So I said the tongues of Acts 2 were the tongues or the languages of the people who were pilgrims
that were around.
Right.
Yeah.
They came from different parts of the world, and they heard the disciples speak in the tongues of their native countries. So now what you're speaking is gibberish. No, brother, it's not gibberish. No one's figured out what the... I said, listen, take it to any linguist, and they will tell you. I say, first of all, we know it's gibberish because you keep saying the six things over and over again.
Right.
Right? If you record them, if you record these people, the five or six or seven or eight things that they say, they repeat it 20 times. Well, that's not a language. That's gibberish.
So does that mean Fred Flintstone was speaking in tongues?
Exactly. Yabba dabba do. Right? So, no, you can't. People don't want to be convinced that they're stupid.
Yeah.
They like their stupidity.
Or that we've been had or conned or whatever, and sometimes we just have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, he got me.
Right.
But help me not fall for that again by studying your word and understanding it in its proper context.
Correct. Paul says, I'd rather speak 5 words in a known tongue than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Why? Why, Paul says? He says, because with 5 words you communicate truth, but with 10,000 words no one understands you.
Right.
And then he says, let no one speak unless someone can what? Interpret.
Interpret.
I said to the man, what do they have at the United Nations? They have interpreters. While one guy is making a speech in his common language, you have other people in booths with headphones on interpreting for the person who's sitting down there hearing the speech who doesn't know that language. It's being interpreted.
Right.
So nobody can interpret gibberish. You cannot interpret gibberish. Therefore, if you cannot interpret gibberish, it's not a tongue. It's gibberish. But you see, they don't get it. They don't get it. It's like the plug has been pulled, and they don't have the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to help people. You try to help them, but I know what I'm doing. Okay, then keep doing it. Does it make you happy? Oh, it makes you very happy.
Because we've been taught to judge things by emotion and experience. Which is why these ads and The Chosen and a lot of these other things can be so effective in pulling people away and giving them false information about the Lord, because they can pull at those emotional strings and you can identify with different experience. Who hasn't been lonely before? And so it can give you a wrong idea of even who Jesus is and what he came here to do when he was on earth. What was the point of his humanity?
Right. In order for him to fulfill Genesis 3:15, he had to take on flesh. He had to be of the seed of the woman. He had to be. He had to be the God-man. Or else Genesis 3:15 could not be fulfilled.
Right.
So, Dallas tries to make Jesus, hip by having Jesus pass gas.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. That is so juvenile.
Crude,
juvenile, classless, right? I mean, we can go down the line. And then he humanized Jesus because now I know Jesus does what I do. I mean, this is stupid. But people like stupid. People reward stupid. People applaud stupid. You know, it just amazes me. It just, I go to YouTube and I'll click on something. Any topic, let's say the spirit of Jezebel, and one guy is saying one thing, and then you click on another one, and this guy's saying the same thing, the other guy. And then now ask them, can you give me one scripture where the Bible talks about the spirit of Jezebel? So they'll take you to 1 Kings 16 where there's Jezebel. I say, yeah, but that's not the spirit of Jezebel. That is the Jezebel. Can you give me one where it says Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel? So they'll take me to Revelation chapter 2, and they'll say, you see, it's right here. The spirit of Jezebel. No.
That doesn't say spirit either.
Right. So, but then they say, but it's out there. I know it's out there because it's come against me, and I have to bind it in the name of the Lord. Okay. So, okay.
There are people who behave as the historical Jezebel behaved, I'm sure, but that doesn't mean it's a spirit. That's just fallen human nature.
Right. When these guys say, one of the characteristics of the spirit of Jezebel is manipulation. Well, everybody manipulates to some extent or another.
My dog manipulates.
Exactly. Exactly. Come on. This is stupid. It's just the arguments are just so irrational. And you look at them and you say, poor thing, were they dropped on their heads too many times? Or, you know, did they skip school? Did they not take it's just like common sense
it's
thinking is not there.
A systematic dumbing down of the church in particular with preachers who don't want you to use common sense, who wants you to hang on their every word. And it's just priming generation after generation to fall for the deception that the Lord constantly warns us about that's coming in the last days. See that
right.
No man deceives you. That's one of the first things he said when the disciples asked him what the end times would be like.
Right.
And here it is. We're looking at a lot of it.
Right. I was teaching on Monday how Jesus taught in the temple, and I was trying to explain the difference. And I don't know if I did a good job, but I was trying to explain the difference between teaching and preaching. Now, not to say that preaching, we shouldn't preach, but Jesus devoted more time to teaching than to preaching because in teaching you go slow, right? In teaching, you know, when there's a person teaching Sunday school, you know that during the Sunday school hour you can raise your hand and ask a question and ask for amplification or clarification or expansion
right.
on something that the teacher said. Now, you know that when the preacher's going on, nobody dares raise their hand while preaching is going on.
Right.
Because that's – so, you see, there's many advantages to teaching in the church. Many advantages.
Right.
You got to have a notebook out. You got to have a pen. You're supposed to have textbooks with you. So the churches don't want to teach today. And you had a guy like Fred Price who supposedly had a teaching ministry, but if you ever watch any of his videos, when he
taught.
It was
more preaching.
Right. And when he taught.
Because nobody got to ask any questions.
Yeah. And when he taught in such a way that he made sure he belittled people who were thinking opposite of him.
Yes.
He always, in every one of his teachings, he had a way of belittling if you thought this way, because he knew where people were going to come against him, so he would use that as an opportunity to attack that by belittling that person and basically by calling them stupid. So that's
right.
how he shut down the question and answer session and wouldn't allow it, and he called it teaching, but it wasn't teaching, it was indoctrination.
Right, and I've had preachers when you ask questions, you write them or email them or something, or even if you go see them in person, they may answer questions to a point, but then they'll say, is it okay if I answer this in a sermon next Sunday?
Right.
And I think a lot of time it's that they would prefer that to preach from the pulpit or somewhere because you can't ask any questions. You're not going to jump up in the middle of service and try to ask questions or even what they call Bible study. It's still more like on Sunday. No, I've never
Correct.
Seen anybody ask too many questions during so-called Bible studies in a lot of these places. But with Jesus, you said he spent more time teaching. Every time that's the Bible describes it. He would sit down and teach them, even with the Sermon on the Mount. It says, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and then he goes into the greatest sermon ever preached.
Right.
Or
right.
taught, I should say.
Yeah, the effectiveness of teaching, again, is that through systematic lessons, you can get people turned in the right direction.
Right.
That's why, like, you look at James's letter. James's letter is so full of teaching, right? But then there's a warning in the book. He says, my brethren, let not many of you be masters or teachers, knowing that if you're a master or a teacher, you shall undergo a stricter judgment, right? Don't take teaching lightly, because you better realize that the judgment bar on you is way higher.
Absolutely.
You better have your ducks in a row, because, you know, God is going to judge you severely. And so we live in a church world today where it's all social media, basically. Listen, this stuff is so fast. What they say is so fast that most people are just hooping and hollering when they're saying it and not even thinking it through. They're not even thinking it through. And these
because
are just
of the emotion.
Right. And the longest one I saw was 1 minute long. 1 minute. But look at all the images that they gave you. Look at all the words that they gave you. It's basically a brainwashing technique.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
there's
messages even within the images.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because now when I think of Jesus, I have to think of him as having tattoos, a bandana, an earring, right?
Yes.
A motorcycle. That's how I have to think of Jesus now.
A low rider 64 Chevy Impala.
Right. That's what I see. That's what I see here. So it's get more information on this group, because they're operating incognito here.
It's hard to find anything, but I'll just look up the company that they actually give the funds to, and then they disseminate. But so that's really all you can find. The donors are secret.
Yeah, sure, but not to the Lord. They're not secret to the Lord.
No, he knows.
He knows them, and he's going to grab them by their scrawny necks one day, and he's going to make them pay for what they did. So great show,
right,
as always,
and
Saints. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it's at the bottom of the page, it's got links. You can get on Bible apps and connect with groups and text for prayer and do live chats on here. So just wanted people to be aware that this is out here, and it's trash. It's cringeworthy.
Right.
And it would be humorous if it wasn't so dangerous. So just be aware if you see this stuff.
Yeah, it's very dangerous, especially for our young people. Very
yes.
dangerous. Very, very, very dangerous. My sister, thank you for this great show, and you have the last word as always.
Well, just thank everyone for listening. Have a great rest of your day and week, and we will see you next time, Lord willing. Have a great day. Bye-bye.